the Middle Kingdom. There was this boy who grew up in a shady town. Not shady as in crooked, but shady as in leafy, a lovely garden of a town. First in a nice house, a very nice house, on the corner of a modest prim avenue, just a block from the prim local school. And in this nice house, this very nice house, for as long as he could remember, this boy had his own room to sleep in and his very own dreams to ponder. You might have called this family affluent, unless you yourself were quite wealthy. And your family had always been that way, for as long as you could remember. And if that was your fate to be, and if you weren't some nouveau riche wannabe, you might have called this boy's family middle class, like a put-down to hint they was crass. No more, no less than an innuendo, the American dream in a nutshell. But if you were from a more modest background, where children often shared cramped bedrooms, where maids rarely came cleaning ovens, where your mom went courageously food shopping, checking prices on tin cans and wrapped coal cuts, which this boy's mom never did once, and buying family-sized Welch's grape jelly. No, not Polner's strawberry preserves, silly. If that was your life of daily toil, you'd probably have called this boy spoiled and meant it as kind of an insult with green jealousy hiding behind it. Finally, if you came from a lost third world country located on a poor distant continent that loomed large on the wallpaper maps that lined the walls of this boy's very own room, but low on UN per capita income charts, and if that was you, could you even imagine this boy's daily life in a daydream, while your mother walked 45 minutes to bring home clean water from upstream? That won't make you ill when you drink it. If that was your case, then I think it would lead you to think it was like Disneyland. Although probably you wouldn't know how, because probably, and I'm just guessing now, you wouldn't know where the fuck Disneyland was. But this boy, he knew where Disneyland was, and he knew it came from sunny California, where everything cool seemed to come from, because he'd watched the original Mickey Mouse show, and he loved cute Annette Funicello, and he remembered Jimmy Dodds singing, and as an adult, he could Google almost everything, of every Mouseketeer who his eyes ever tasted in the vastness of the Wikipedia wasteland, where pointless and useless knowledge can entertain us for hours and hours. And he could peep back into those lives like a voyeur looking through a mouse hole and discover they weren't really as happy. And after Googling Roy and Walt Disney, as they seemed on his black and white TV, and he'd be left with a low-down bad feeling, like saying, who really cares anyway? Because now there are more important entries in the endless melting pot of celebrities like Kanye and Kim and Jay-Z and Beyonce. Well, you know what really matters, don't we? I mean, think about the ancient Egyptians who feared one day sand might overwhelm them, something like nuclear annihilation, which could turn us to dust and sand eventually, and then we'll be right back where we started. Right there with the ancient Egyptians, who still managed to have three kingdoms, and the one in the middle was called, you'll get it, the Middle Kingdom. But this boy mentioned in the opening line here was also the middle child here, you got it, and only a few short years separated him from his more ancient sister, him from his more modern brother. And these three once made up three-fifths of a nuclear American family that eventually unexpectedly exploded when someone died and turned to dust. And the three became 75% of a sad post-nuclear family, a family blown truly apart that still managed to stay quite together and loved each other forever. And unless something unforeseen happens and fucks everything up again, unless that happens, God willing, these three will become the whole enchilada that remains at the end of the day, because their mother, who is 91 soon, will probably go first to the moon, or second if you begin a countdown with the already space-bound father. I get ahead of myself so quickly. That's a nervous storyteller's weakness. Can you still now even remember the corner house I once mentioned in December with maps on the wall of that boy's room? Well, maybe then they should have just stayed there. I mean the family, not the maps, of course, dear. Because if that had been the case, nobody would have died in the next house, the middle kingdom, the middle child. And you know, I could jump to the epilogue right now if I wanted to spoil it and tell you that boy is here drinking hot chocolate in the Vieux Colombier Café in Paris on the 23rd day of December, 2016, year of our Lord, though I doubt any so-called Lord would want his name associated with this year or any other anus horribilis. That's Latin for. So, the middle house was truly grand in every way you could possibly imagine. Like imagine Gone with the Wind, without the cotton fields, of course, or a bright, happy Wuthering Heights with a high, fine, friendly brick wall and cast iron swinging black gates that opened onto the leafy grand street that ran in front of the truly grand house. And one night this same boy I mentioned ran out through those gates aforementioned, pounding on his neighbor's door, screaming for help to the heavens, dropping to his knees in prayer, because someone was dying or dead in one of the upstairs bedrooms, in one of the four upstairs bedrooms of the middle house, And that someone was his father, who never set foot in the third house, like the third man, when Orson Welles appears smiling in a doorway with a smile, like his father, a magic man, like his father, obviously both irreplaceable, who made Christmas feel like kind of Disney in the dark and cold East Coast dismal, and Christmas tree buying an adventure in the never-never land of Long Island, and Christmas morning opening presents like the greatest high imaginable, and I've known a few highs myself, the greatest high a child could hope for. But that magic man was replaced in what could only be a mistake, a terrible, terrible mistake, by a sarcastic, doomed alcoholic, a gambler, and a smoker of Viceroy, who destroyed his own very wife's joy, who just so happened to come from old Egypt. And before you knew what had happened, he had moved into the third last house, the terrible, terrible third last house, where if you stayed on the phone too long in the tiny kitchen of the third house, or at least long enough to displease him, look, he's taking scissors from a drawer, him, and cutting the coil cord in two, him, and leaving you, I mean the boy now, standing there holding the damn phone there, the dead damn phone, right in your right hand. Totally useless now, unless the boy had decided that he was going to fight it and club the drunken, sarcastic, doomed gambler over and over and over again until he's lying on the kitchen floor then, beaten to a good bloody pulp, my friend, until the cops took the boy out in handcuffs. But of course none of that ever happened, because the boy was brought up to be nothing if not polite by his father, and thus he could only ever imagine committing such a terrible, regrettable act every fucking day for the rest of his life. And then things happened as they do, and four lives jumped ahead to part two, and the new wife of the drunken, doomed gambler, the mother of the boy in the first line, once the wife of the magic, now dead man, who died in the middle house truly grand, grew to hate her new husband with a vengeance, to the point she really could have killed him if there had been sharp scissors in the drawer when he said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And the boy married three times himself now, same number as the kingdoms of Egypt. And someone once seriously told him, someone endowed with strange powers, that once he was surely a pharaoh. Yes, a genuine goddamn pharaoh, of which kingdom was another Sphinx riddle. But I suspect it was probably the middle house.